Session 48, Part 2 to our Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast game continues. Our players were Jameis, Sharon, and Richard. Chris was not able to make it to this session. Nothing new to report, so here you go. Session 48, Part 2. All right, so we are back, beginning our night with dinner with Santa Ana and crew. So Sarah is dressing up nicely.
I believe we are all dressing up in what are our least horrible clothes.
The ones without all the blood stains on it.
Wait, there is a laundry service in yes, the thing, so we can get it all done. And, I mean, we've all got rings and things we could wear. I think we all bought fancy clothes anyway, or were given fancy clothes.
We all have really, like, not necessarily fancy, but good, presentable. I have fancy clothes.
Well, we got the... you didn't bring yours with you, did you? I was going to say the robes from...
Yeah, I didn't bring one with me, but I was going to say... I'm going to be driving out there, so, you know, if I was in nice clothes, I'd get ruined anyway by the drive.
You could get somebody else to drive you for the evening. I mean, well.
Why would I get someone else to drive?
Yeah, I just thought, oh, I forgot who I was talking to.
This is why they have dusters. Your duster on, and your nice clothes are fine.
That's why I have goggles, so I can see.
Yeah. Anyway, so you dress respectably anyway, and head off. Arriving,
they respect me, so that's all right.
Arriving before nightfall, yeah. The soldiers there actually are quite familiar with you now, Luke, and several of them call out to you.
Hola.
Have you brought any more of that booze?
Shh. That wasn't on the list.
All right. So you see that there are many more pavilions that are staked out now. There's more tents. It looks like their forces pretty much doubled in size since you were here last time, Luke. The central tents have been added upon. So they're you know, it's become even a small facility where all the tarps have been combined together. So it's a fairly large outdoor structure now. And there are several armed guards standing outside. Talking with these guards is the lieutenant that you are familiar with already, Mr. Antonio de Caldera, who, my friends, I see you've come back. he seems to be flustered as he offers his hand to take help Sarah down from the carriage.
Okay. What about Weimatai? Huh? Weimatai, yeah.
Weimatai might be willing to wear one of the dresses she's bought. Sarah's been working with her on wardrobe over time, saying, "Yeah, exactly. Still hide a knife here."
If Sarah has anything to do with it, Weimatai will be dressing up nice.
Yes, and we'll also have her knife, because I did, in fact, show her where to strap the knife.
Young will go to offer his hand, having seen Antonio do it, and then think, oh, it's Weimatai, should I, shouldn't I, and get like, oh, the hand's going backwards and forwards. Oh, do it.
Surprisingly, she reaches out and puts her hand on yours as you're presenting it, and she looks over at Sarah like, am I doing this right?
I give her an approval nod.
I look over at Sarah. Am I doing this right?
You know how the Asian assassins wear like the chopstick knives bound up in their hair? She's got like two little axes bound up in her hair. So they're both dressed very well. Weimatai definitely feels out of sorts in the dress, but it's still a good presentation there, Young. And as you step off, you do see that she checks to make sure that she is armed.
I give my hand to help drag him down.
So he pulls, Antonio himself pulls back the tent flap, and inside there are several lanterns set up. Some impromptu tables have been in, and there seems to be a feast already in progress, as he mentions to you quietly. It's like, He arrived about an hour ago with a hunger, so we have started a bit ahead of time. My apologies. So as you enter in the principal seat at the head of the table is who you're guessing is Santa Anna. Most of you have probably only heard him of his reputation, not his physical stature. He's actually a little on the short side, being just a little bit over 5 feet tall. He has
got a Napoleon.
He has a handlebar mustache that is greased very smartly. The right and left side of the breast on his uniform has many medals and honors decorating it, as well as epaulets that have different colored strands. It probably means something. You're thinking, Luke, you don't know what all their medallions signify. But he's happy. He's got a smile on his face. He is an older man. It seems that his good leg... His bad leg is up on, is elevated on a cushion. The stump has a cap over it. He seems to be enjoying a bottle of wine. He's, has some, it's, there's a mix of, soldiers and, other, lieutenants around as well. But it looks like even, there's a few common soldiers here that are enjoying the feast and not acting as servants, that he seems to be, not preferential to just the higher ups. He seems to be well liked amongst his soldierly, and maybe this is why. So he invites everyone in. He stands a little, you know, he's got a cane that he grabs onto to balance himself on the other side, and he raises his wine glass up and he says, "Please get our guests wine."
He says it in what language?
Most of you look white, so he says it in English.
So the servitors need to understand English.
And some of the men around you, uncork some wine bottles, some that are already moving around. They fill up wine glasses and hand them to everybody. They fill, you know, from the same vessels, their own wine glasses. And Santa Anna stands and there's a toast. He reaches his hand, his glass into the air. He says, "To the successful completion of this campaign, the return of my leg, and the restoration of our lands."
Salud.
Salud. Yep.
He drinks to it and says, "Please, have a seat. Have a seat. Eat. We are many minutes into our meal. Please, you need to catch up. I understand that the fine meats and vegetables we have prepared here come from your town.
Yes, they come from the town nearby, certainly.
What is this giant beaver on the menu?"
I don't think that we never told them about the giant beavers. We tried to predict the giant beavers.
Who knows what Zane did? I mean, we took them out there as well.
Who knows what Nick did?
Yeah.
I did notice beaver skin caps were kind of cheap.
He says, please, enjoy the food, enjoy the camaraderie. We will speak of business after, yes?" And he definitely has an appetite, as does his men. Looks like they have ridden far in a short amount of time. Their clothing is dusty. They have, they've cleaned themselves as best as you can, but you can see the trail dirt on them. They've come far in a short time. So, yes, they're passing a plates back and forth.
Careful in case they're trying to get us drunk or something.
Well, the wine is there, but no one's really pushing it on you. Several bottles are opened on the table. People partake here and there. There is a cask of beer that came from Perdition that's been opened, but that's drinking sparingly. Seems wine is more of their style. Someone does bring out a couple of bottles of tequila. Too bad Eddie isn't here.
Stay away from that. I will just drink wine and be my standard, normal, charming self and tuck in like the rest of the people.
Okay. You have several of the men are trying, going one over each other, trying to offer you various delicacies on the table, offering to refill your drink, etc. Similar is done to Wimatai, too. Although that cools down a bit after they seem to be too pushy and Weimatai is wielding her fork and knife like weaponry. They seem to get the hint and cool it down a little. There is some table talk, most of it in Spanish. So Young, you're really the only person that can, you know, they're basically, they're talking about the areas they've come across, where what they've seen, where they've been. So apparently they've been ranging up and down the Shattered Coast, trying to locate the leg, speaking to people here and there. But they seem very fascinated with the area and what they've seen. Someone claims to have seen a dragon in the water.
I was going to say, hey, has anybody seen a dragon? Do you also come from the south? Do you have dragons in the south as well? Do they roam across the land? Do they? Please tell me.
Must have been after I used a dragon charm.
Yeah. Yeah, the boat behind you got the dragon. See? See how that happens? Guaranteed to work, just not for you. One of the soldiers was acting as a sailor aboard a ship, and he starts describing the sea serpent that came up. And there's, if you get drawn into that conversation, they talk about, oh yeah, there's, there's historical sightings of dragons in Mexicali, and they go into all of that. It's a very Catholic place, so the Saint George and the Dragon tales come out, and that sort of thing.
Yes, I will listen.
Some talk of a basilisk being seen recently. Nah, that's just weird.
And I will, of course, tell them about the dragon and my family lineage, because no, I'm sure there are other people talking about their family lineage at the table as well.
Of course.
Why would I not combine the two subjects together and tell them all about it?
Oh yeah, yeah. They're happy to talk to you, and you speak their accent. But their language is a little bit of an accent, but they're perfectly understandable back and forth, and that comes up a little bit. It's like, well, how did you learn to speak? They don't quite say civilized tongue, but
there were several Mexicalians in the city I grew up in. That is how I learned.
You're careful to not say that they were slaves in a mine.
No.
Or maybe you're not careful about that. Who knows? All right.
I'm sure there were some in there that I would have. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Santa Ana kind of joins in on this as well. He talks in with your conversation a bit. He talks here and there with other soldiers, other lieutenants, anyone else. And he's a very affable guy. And he's clearly in charge, but he treats everyone as equals. He doesn't belittle anyone. They serve themselves. There aren't any people here specifically set to be servants. But so it's a fairly enjoyable meal, other than you're making sure that you're not being poisoned or made to be drunk, etc.
He's no Emperor Norton.
Yes. He just doesn't have the majesty that Mr. Norton there has. But anyway, people wind down after a bit. Most of the food has been eaten. Cigars are handed out, including to the women. And Santa Ana brings out a crystal bottle. He says, I've been holding on to this a very long time. And I feel now is a good time to break it out. I understand you have good news to me, for me. So please, a little small cup for everyone here is brought forth, and the liqueur is decanted. He pours one for himself at the end. And after his men have their sip, they kind of understand that business is to be conducted now. So you're left with Santa Ana, a couple of guards, and the lieutenant, Antonio, as well. And for you guys, the crystal bottle is left out on the table. He refills everyone all around except for the two soldiers that are now here on work detail now, apparently. There's a subtle shift there from forks and knives to, they've got their rifles on their shoulders now. It's like, so, I understand you have news of my leg.
Are either of them drinking the liqueur as
yes,
well?
Yes, they continue to.
I'm just checking. They haven't. I deal it all out to everybody, or pour it all out to everybody, and then don't drink any myself because secretly it's truth serum or something.
Yeah, but no, they've actually taken the antidote beforehand. So
yeah.
Possibly. Yeah.
If anyone does partake, it's got a very strong orange taste to it. Seems to be some kind of a citrus liqueur.
Yes, I will take.
Poor idea.
Yes. Missing out. Missing out on another type of alcoholic beverage. He says, so tell me of this news.
We found the leg in the bait shop and curio's place and have secreted it somewhere. Safe.
Oh, so you are in possession of it, not just news of it. This is good. This is good. I need to bring this campaign to an end. This is costing us dearly. So tell me, what do you wish for my leg?
Look at the others and shrug.
To, leave this area in peace?
We came in as much peace as we were able to manage. We were attacked several times. We only defended ourselves. We paid as we are able to go for our supply lines. We are happy to leave once my leg is returned.
So Fort, what's his name, down south attacked you?
Yes.
How did they...
Cannon fire as we were passing. We made no attempt to contact them. Perhaps we were seen as a threat, but we were fired upon by cannon.
Which, as I was trying to remember, when that happened, that was that their typical day that they did it, or was it an unusual day that they did it?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Oh, they tested the cannons.
Yeah. It may be that may have been misinterpreted because you did find that they were shooting off cannons. Yeah. So that
that's what I'm just suddenly thinking. Oops. Oh, that might have been an unfortunate circumstance of timing. But surely you know that they were testing the cannons. Maybe you didn't. Tested the cannon from time to time.
Well, we felt we were under attack, and we defended ourselves. If it was an unfortunate accident, then I do offer my apologies. But we had to make sure that our supply train and followers would be safe as well. So, out of necessity, we had to take it over.
Then once you have the leg and you're on your way back, will you be offering reparations to those you have harmed along the way?
He thinks about that for a moment and he says, I have ordered my men, those under my control and those under the control of my lieutenants, to deal as fairly as we are able, as we came into your territories. Our thought was not to make war, simply to return that which is mine to me.
For most of the time, indeed, we have heard that you have dealt fairly, if somewhat forcefully, with towns and have not gone out of your way to try to commit war or anything like that.
I feel that us making any reparations would leave behind a sentiment we are not intending, though I also feel that if you believe there are wounded parties out there, they would not want to treat with us. I offer a consolation. If you wish to speak on their behalf, I can leave with you certain reparations. Or call it a payment for the return of my leg, if you wish. I leave it to you as to how to distribute.
Not so much the people themselves, but I'm sure that the families of the soldiers that you fought would not look unkindly upon reparations. That's where my thinking is mainly going, Bert.
I leave it to your honor as to what to do with the payments.
I'm sure as a military, as somebody who's dealt in the military, I sort of have some idea about how that sort of thing works.
Yeah.
That's mainly what I want out of this. I look at the others. Otherwise, I have no concern in holding up your leg any longer. And I'm just more concerned about maintaining what peace we can in California. If you can take back the lands that Texas took from you, that's between you and Texas.
Yeah, there's a bit of fire in his eyes when you say that. He says, yes, our lands will be returned before I leave this body.
That's up to you. I got nothing. I have nothing whatsoever.
Return to the hands of the people.
I have no dog in that fight. I have a cat, but no dog.
He looks at you quizzically. You fight dogs here? It's barbaric.
I suppose I have a question just on the leg itself, and where does it come from? What is, I mean, stuff like that.
Well, he tells you the story. I mean, he lost his leg in a battle. At that time, he happened to be in New York, where he was put in touch with a famous cabinet maker. I'm sure there was a name. It doesn't give it to me. And for the princely sum of 1,300...
Dr. Caligari.
There you go. Of 1,300 of your dollars, he was able to procure this item. And it seems to be that it is... it has become truly a part of him. He knows when it is near. He can feel it like a lost appendage. Like phantom pains. He feels them when he's near it. And he says it's somewhat of a good luck charm. When it was in my possession, it seems that my battles always went well. I've suffered fewer losses. I have not suffered personal injury myself. Since then, my battles, as your papers may say, have not always gone my way. But I have a final battle that must be fought. I will return my lands to my people. And for that, I need my leg. I was more than willing to purchase it from those that found it when it was left on the battlefield. I was able to purchase information that led me to many different sources. There is an organization here that deals in oddities and artifacts that had their hands upon it once. And I made official offerings to have that returned to me. And they claimed that it had gone missing. Those claims apparently were true. I was able to pay for some spies in their networks that were able to confirm that they no longer had my leg. So this was all that was left to me. I had to come myself, retrieve it myself.
What network is this?
Who they call here? He says a word in Spanish. Young. It translates as essentially the agency.
Oh, them, I say. I offer no translation for anybody else. I just say, oh, them.
And so we come to this unfortunate impasse. If money were enough to have reclaimed it, I was willing to pay. But no, sadly, my hand had to be in it. I had to be here on your lands that I could feel it.
Mine might say it's more a matter of destiny that you are here to reclaim your league.
Yes!
All right.
Your lands, they suffer here.
Yep.
I have not seen such infertile soil. I've campaigned in lands that have had much devastation, and nowhere has the soil been as unwilling to yield up life and bounty is the soil here.
Perhaps it is the ghost rock. There is a lot of it here. It might make the grounds less fertile.
We have much use of it in my home as well. Not as large concentration as your coastline here has. Yeah. So what you say may be true.
Quick question out of game. Do we know that it's Grimes that's basically the reason for it, don't we?
It's unclear. Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody's ever said anything or put in it or said, hey, here is 2-2.
Yep.
Right.
Essentially,
I wasn't sure if that's something we knew or not.
Yeah, just essentially since the quakes, things have not been going well for California.
Right.
That's certainly something that you can say, and we could check and investigate. But yeah, it's nothing nobody's said anything about.
Yeah, it's quite possible that the problem is caused by a particular source of evil that we will be dealing with at some point.
I have holy men in my homeland who I occasionally
I roll my
have,
eyes.
have for dinner. And they tell me that we are we are living...
You have the holy men for dinner! You are quite linked to Grimes then.
That we are living in the end times, that the horsemen are about the world, and the coming of the end is near. I pay little credence.
That, they?
They do. They seem to repeat these words every so often. But
we have not put much stock in the words of the holy man that we have traveled with. He has been most windy or blustery.
You speak of the devil in the city.
Yes.
He crosses himself when he mentions this. Your city of Lost Angels is aptly named. It is a city of sorcery and of evil.
Yeah. It's our job to look into this, to reversing that situation.
Why do you allow it to exist? He seems to have so many followers. He seemed to be said to be a good man. How can you not see the evil? It's obvious. It is a taint.
The same is said of you. How can we allow somebody like you to exist? It is not always our choice.
He nods at this. He says, yes, in my mind and for my people, I am their savior and their protector. But from outside, yes, I can see that perhaps I am a devil in the same cast as your Grimes.
I'm sure the Chinese have some sort of saying, not towards Luger, or something like the wolf in sheep's clothing or something similar.
Yes, there are several quotes I could suggest which would be of similar virtue. But I forgot to open my Chinese quote document before we started the game, so I don't have it.
Yeah. Yes.
We have many true believers of the Christ and the cross in my soldiers. We have a very strong background of this in my homeland. And when we approach these areas of sickness that we see, it is plain for my soldiers to see. They feel it. We cross ourselves many times and kiss of the Holy Cross when we near these locations. It seems that perhaps living with it for so long, you're blinded to it. I don't know, but I am wished to be left of these lands as much as you wish me to leave. If my leg is returned, we can both be appeased.
Right then.
Good. I think we are agreed on that.
Yes, yeah. We are agreed.
So, how may I collect my leg?
Oh, this is John Beavis, Ian. Yeah, we just want to tell him.
Do we just tell him?
Yeah. No, I don't. As we sort it out. I don't really know how much detail we can go into. It's lock them into this GPS coordinates and...
I mean, you're a navigator enough that you can sketch out the terrain, and Eddie will have told you where he'd stashed it.
Well, I know where the caves are anyway, so I can say, oh, this is the area where you want to go over here, and then the precise location is here. And... Yeah.
Well, very well.
If you really need us to go with you, we can, but you should be able to find it.
I mean, you must be able to sense it is near enough. Yes.
I can feel it now.
Yes.
Yeah. It's that way about half a day or a day's travel.
Well, yes, I am anxious to be reunited. If it is, in fact, in the location, as you say, I will leave with your town of perdition. And is there a leader there that I can leave reparations with? Or to yourselves, if you reside there.
We may or may not be there at the time. Either...
Do not know if there is any... Yeah, but they are not in town at the moment, are they?
Yeah. Well, they may turn up as soon as we leave. It's funny how that happens.
Do not know why everybody had to leave the town at once. It's like they have possibly seen that wherever we go, disaster follows us. And they decide to leave town just before, in case it is striking them.
Please do not say that out loud right now. Thank you.
Too late. I have late. Oh, well.
I don't know, what day is it today? Because we're not planning on being there till Sunday-ish, so...
Yeah, this is Friday.
And probably...
a bit to go there, and they can drop it off on the way back. Yeah. So, I mean... Well, you can drop it off at our hotel.
Or with a certain person that Sarah might know. And trust.
Or you could drop it off at the doctor's.
Well, you haven't been seeing much of him the past few days.
That's true.
He could have come out here. Well, never mind.
All right, well, you guys
drop
basically...
it off at the sheriff's office, basically.
Then. Well, that's what I was saying, Zane, but Zane may not be there. And...
No, but was Santiago is...
Yeah. Retirement! I'm gone! Yeah. But anyway, you guys hammer out the particulars. And he says, if the leg is there, as you say, we will leave. We will avoid in all settlements. We have enough of a supply train now that we can eat lean but be back and out of your territories without any further bother to the citizens of your nation here. There is an implied, if it's not there, y'all gonna die.
If it's not there, then we don't know where the hell happened to it. It
Well, is there anybody in your... under your command here who you suspect would resent being told to go back? Somebody who particularly wishes to take over this area, who might kill you in the middle of the night, thus preventing you from getting your leg and
as I say, my men
starting a war?
My men don't want to be here. This is a blighted, just evil place. Nothing grows here. Nothing good is here. We wish to get back to our green lands and our vineyards and our farms.
Yeah, well, that's North America for you.
It sounds like
Canada.
You have much troubles here. Much troubles.
Yep. No, yeah, this sounds like we're all on the same page here.
All right. Well, if you stay and finish off the bottle with him, he's pleased enough to chit-chat. Otherwise, he is wanting to get an early start at it and reunite him with his leg.
Yep.
Have you got nothing else to ask of him?
I don't think I've got anything else. Yep. So.
Yep.
Oh.
All right.
Good.
Yeah. You get back late into perdition. The the booze halls, of course, are still going full swing, but otherwise nothing really much has changed in town. You do see that the light's on and at Luke's place.
Oh, hey, Drake is there. Hey, look, Zerka's there. Want to go see him? He did actually get right to marry Kitty, didn't he? Or was that later?
Well, they were engaged.
Yeah.
There's a date set that they haven't been married yet.
They were engaged when we first ran out. And then they weren't engaged. And then they got engaged again. And then who knows?
It's been a rocky relationship.
I am feeling very tired. I think I would like to go to bed right now.
Maybe just pass him a note and say, we'll see him in the morning. We've got stuff to talk about, but then otherwise. Yeah.
All right, so no one goes in. Good enough.
Okay.
I'll be out of the place by the time we get up in the morning, because that's just the way things go. And hey, I completely and utterly out of character. Well, I'm glad we didn't tell Santa Ana about anything about that huge worm that we encountered between here and the caves last time. I mean, that's just going to be fun and surprises, and if it
lead
comes
them to so, think even more of your cursed land.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. It was just a horrible trick all along. Now we must raise the town to the ground. Who knows?
Well, when you get back to the hotel, you find the attendant there tells you that you have a message, pulls it out of your box there and hands it over to, Sarah.
Yeah, I was going to say, ignoring it.
Okay.
Going to bed.
Okay.
Yeah. Quick note, just says it's a very elegant pen written. It says, our fellowship will meet at the Fallen Angel Saloon this Friday at midnight. Your attendance is requested, O'Malley.
I wait till we get back up to our rooms and then blah this to the rest of the group. O'Malley wants us at the Fallen Angel at midnight Friday.
And today's Friday.
And how late is it?
It's not quite midnight yet.
That's what I thought. All right.
Well, I suppose we will get out of... Go in these clothes, I mean...
Yeah. But how much time do we have before...
About
an hour, so I have enough time to change into something a little less...
Yeah.
Okay. I change. Wimitai. Get comfortable.
Surprised he's not taking us to Red's, because that's a better place to go.
Mm-hmm.
Been there before.
Maybe there is something there. It is less observed by everybody. Maybe there are people who are not, they do not want to know they are in town. Anything.
Okay.
Everybody dresses down, then heads out.
Wait, so that was a message from
O'Malley,
Lacey O'Malley, but the light was on at Luke Watson's place.
Mm-hmm.
So both of them are back in town.
It may have been on somewhere else, but we just didn't see it because we didn't go past it.
Yes, no, it is just interesting that both of them have come immediately already. So there we go.
That's just an amusing observation I made in the chat there. So if he had just gotten the leg from the base shop, he would have been off already. We didn't need to do anything. We just got in the way.
I don't think he would have found the leg until we actually got there. I think we triggered the cutscene.
The best we've done out of this is get some reparations. That's about it, really.
Good for us. And, we found the leg where he couldn't. Because he was not there at all. I never saw one single Spanish or Mexicalian person there at all.
Eddie doesn't tell you.
Eddie had the second said, come and have an attack. Oh, here's the leg. Okay, bye.
Alright. So heading out to the Fallen Angel.
Let us go armed for bear.
Yeah. So it's loud, and there's a hoedown in full swing. There's a piano player is cranking out a rousing rendition of the Kentucky Bootlegger. And cowboys, the saloon gals, are all dancing up a storm. Folks are hollering and clamping and stomping their boots. You've gone from an elegant, quiet meal to just bedlam as the lights and the noise. In the back of the room, you guys do see... Lacey O'Malley is sitting back there. You see Luke as well as someone you haven't seen in a while, Mr. Samuel Hellman.
No.
You guys remember Samuel? Who?
Yes.
No.
The one we rescued from the prison.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
Does he look these days?
Yes.
So they're in a relatively quiet area of the saloon. I mean, it's really loud, really noisy. Weemitai has already got her hackles up, hands on axe blades. Yeah, it's like,
we will go out after this and see if anybody is stupid enough to try and attack us in the street for money. But I promise you that, okay?
You've gotten to calling this idiot trolling.
Yes.
You and Weemitai go for late night strolls. Just wait.
It is a fun pastime that we have. Yeah.
Right. Well, all right. So they wave you over, take seats, and they've all got some oat soda in front of them. And you know, they're not partaking of any alcoholic beverage for the most part here. Both Lacey and Joker say, well, you remember Sam here? Sam is, she stands up to shake everybody's hand. He's looking a little bit better than the last time you saw him, considering he was an inmate back then. O'Malley says, O'Malley and Luke both look up, and O'Malley says, Sam here is bet to head out, and he's got a favor to ask. We thought if we could get a hold of you or any of the other fellas that you might give him a listen.
I wish we had not got that message.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm leaving the maze soon. I do believe I had just about enough of this place. I see it a few more things through. I'm going to wrap it up and head out. I'm preparing a final report to the agency. After you're all done for me and mine, I suppose I don't have much right to be asking favors, but as I said, there are several things I need to do and set right before I go, and this one I just can't do for myself. You know that Peterson Sanitarium? About 10 miles east of here? Blake stares. Surely Blake you've stares. Heard the lunatic screaming when the moon gets full. No?
Oh, it is drowned out by Eddie's...
No. No, we haven't.
Well, a few years ago, I had to have two of my agents committed there. Fidel Salazar and little Lonnie Bruce. They saw something so terrible out in the maze, their minds snapped. I remember thinking it's best to keep them off the streets. To make the story short, my stay on Rock Island has caused me to reconsider that decision. Plus, I've heard some unpleasant rumors regarding Dr. Sanderson Peterson's so-called therapies. More like tortures, if you ask me. I want Salazar and Bruce out of there if they're healthy enough to ride a train back east. And if they're not, I'd like visual confirmation they're alive and well. What do you say? Can you take care of that for me?
Wait, you don't want them out of there if...
Well, if they're not well. Yeah, if they're obviously not sane, and then, I mean, and they look like they're being treated well, then maybe all these rumors are just that, rumors. But right. As I said, after being incarcerated myself, it just strikes me as wrong to leave behind men, good men, like this.
Why can't you do it?
Well, he looks over at Luke and looks over at O'Malley. He says, truth is, I've got something of a price on my head right now. It's one of the reasons I need to get out of here. Me being out in public even this much is probably not a good thing. I need to get back where the agency's got a little bit more control and can pull me into safety. It's nothing I did, mind you, but I did ruffle some feathers. I got myself on a list, and, well...
Yes, being this close to the place of the owner of the prison that we broke you out of, that cannot be good. Mm. Neither can being the people who broke you out of the prison or the people who destroyed Kang's warship, or the people who have done so many other things.
as I said, you've done a lot for me, and you've proven yourself time after time to be good men and women that have pensions for getting hard things done. And, well, that's what I need. I mean, this may not be such a hard thing, but I can't show my face. Just so happens that I ran into Luke here on a train, and he convinced me to come back at least for tonight and have a little talk with y'all. He had heard that you happened to be back in Perdition. Luck have it, you are in town tonight.
So long as one of us does not have to pretend to be insane and go undercover in the hospital, I think.
Pretend.
It's not time sensitive. I mean, I suppose if they're still alive now, they'll still be alive in a few days, a week, or a month. It's just something that I want to, my conscience just, I gotta at least have them checked on.
You gotta at least come to this bar and hope that somebody was here to deal with it this evening before you leave and go away and never come back.
He looks a little hard, hard at that. He's like, well, look, you all have come through so many times, and as I said, O'Malley and Luke here seems to think that you're the best of the bunch in this area. I mean, if it weren't you, well, we have some other options.
Have I heard of this Peterson Clinic at all, or sanitarium?
Give me a smarts roll. It's just a general knowledge roll.
Yeah, I'm a doctor.
Yes, he's a doctor.
Exactly. That is. Wow.
Yeah.
No, never heard of it.
17. Jeez.
You've definitely heard of it. This Dr. Peterson has written several papers on modern psychiatry. Supposedly, by the symposiums you've been to and the papers you've read, their rehabilitation rate in these sanitariums are much better than they're seeing in the corollaries in England, which at this point are mostly just where you put insane people to die. There's not a lot going on to heal. So he's showing, supposedly, his treatments are showing some benefit. With that kind of role, you've also heard some of the rumors of the dark sides of it. They've got above average rate of deaths for this type of facility. That their patients are being treated as test subjects. Nothing has been proven, but there are certain allegations out there in the medical community that have talked about it. People who have visited the place and supposedly had seen some of these acts taking place.
Okay, so O'Malley, do you think that sanitarium would be amenable if I just asked for a courtesy visit and tour, since I'm in the area?
Well, seeing as you're a licensed doctor, I don't see why they'd find the need to not allow you in. I'm sure with our town doctors here giving you a letter of introduction as well, that I don't see why.
Okay, because then I might be able to get in and just at least get a visual.
Samuel says, well, I can provide you with certain paperwork that may lead them to believe that these two persons were under your medical attention at some point in time, and you're simply looking in on them. That might be a good dodge.
Yeah, that actually sounds pretty good.
I know enough of their personal background that I can make it sound good. I mean, if they do any particular digging, the paperwork's going to come back as false. But, you know, for a cursory look, it should pass scrutiny just fine.
Okay, then unless someone has an objection to me trying that, I think that might be the best way to go for right now.
No one else, all of us there and come along
might be a bit trickier to justify.
Well,
I always travel with a Chinese, an Indian, and a Canadian.
Well, no woman travels alone in this time, so.
No.
Not even with the equality of the sexes in Deadlands?
Yeah, it's a social thing more than anything else. Okay. Yep.
Well, we could all be visiting doctors from various different countries. Or showing our expertise.
Well, Limitai.
Yeah, you could be Doctor Who.
Wimatai has some medical knowledge, so that should not be too difficult. And
Dr. Villeneuve is out promoting his new maple syrup cure.
Dr. Villeneuve is a driver.
It's quite possible that there is a maple syrup diet there somewhere, but
yeah. Why do you think the Canadians are so friendly?
Yep, maple syrup diet.
Completely and utterly off topic. If nobody has ever done so, I recommend you Google the maple syrup heist. Because that is an amazing crime caper that happened. Wow. It's just completely insane.
All right, I will check that out. And now that you pointed it out, don't feel bad that it makes its way into a campaign at some point. All right. Again, no one seems to be, I mean, he's warming up to the fact that Sarah's at least talking about the possibility of looking into him. So he's looking like he's got a bit more hope with that. And he produces a mailing envelope for you. He says, well, you'll find train tickets here for them. A few places that they can contact along the way, in destination, a little bit of money to get them on their way. I can provide you with I'll write it out tonight before I leave in the morning with all the personal information, and I'll mock up some what would you call them, doctor's notes that you know that would point you as being one of their physicians at one point in time. I know of all the I'm the one who put them in the facility to begin with, so I know a lot about what was on that paperwork. So it'll look pretty legitimate to them if they check their own files. Will that be sufficient?
That should do. That should do. Mm-hmm. You don't happen to have pictures of your
In the envelope, he points to the envelope. It's also got a couple of sapientone photographs of Southwest Arm Bruce. They're in the photograph. They're together, and they're both smiling with a smashed Maze Runner lying on the shore in the background. Hellman looks at you. He says, "Long story." Just shakes his head.
This is intriguing, and I would like to get a closer look at one of Peterman's facilities anyway. But I think probably tonight I should probably get some sleep.
Oh, no. As I said, it's not time specific. I'd like to know that this is what I can do before I leave. And as I said, my conscience wouldn't allow for me to do nothing. If you find that you can't and your other missions are too pressing, if you kindly tell Joker or O'Malley here, they'll do their best to find others that might be able to help me out. As I said, no hard feelings if you can't, but I'd appreciate the effort.
Everything will go swimmingly as soon as we turn up.
Of course it will. Nothing ever goes wrong around us.
Nope.
Mm-hmm.
Never ever.
Yep. It's a lot to ask. Again, I know, but as I'm heading back, I'm gonna have to retire after this bit. But there's always the exit interview, and I've got quite a bit of inquiries that I'm gonna have to sit through. But I mean, I can certainly, to your liking, if you'd rather leave you all out of everything, or I can put in a good word with you. You never know where having your name known amongst the agents might be useful to you.
They probably know about us already.
Well, that depends on whether we want them to know more about us or not.
Yeah.
Feel free to use my name.
They think they know about us already.
Feel free to use my name.
They come across a little heavy-handed at times, but to have them on your side, to be able to call them companions, it's a worthwhile thing if you can swing it.
Look at the others and shrug, as I have been doing pretty much most of the evening.
I'm just tired. Let me alone.
I mean, yeah, sure. I'll tell.
Yeah.
I see no reason not to right now.
I still like to do the Grimes, go to Grimes thing as soon as possible, but other than that, sure, fine.
That is Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, so I mean, we can do that tomorrow or the next day and then head off to the...
Are you still talking at the table?
Yeah.
Okay, well, he kind of perks up with that. He says, you're making a run on Grimes?
Investigatory run, just to check out some of the lay of the land and get some information gathering.
Actually, you are a source of information. You were writing a book, essentially, on Grimes. Can we question you about things?
Certainly. As part of the reason why I'm heading out as well, that information needs to make it back to the agency, but I can certainly... let you know what I intend to say, and I'll let you in on a little thing, too. If you happen to find out more, agency is actively recruiting for information about Grimes and his flock. I don't know, and I don't mean any disrespect if this is not who you are, but they're willing to pay for the information. But more importantly... with the kind of shenanigans you seem to get yourselves into, they may be willing to swap information for information. It happens sometimes.
But they are going to get most of their information from you, yes?
Well, certainly what I know, but I'm saying if you find out more.
Okay. Hmm. Yes, understood.
Do you know if his power source is Huckster or Miracles? Or
yes, essentially. Do you know where he is? Getting his power.
I don't know. From what information I was able to find out, and to those that I was able to, get information from on the sly, I must not have done such a good job. I thought I was being clever in the questions I was asking, but you did find me in a jail cell. He seems to be. The power that he holds seems to be one of glamour and shaping, and he's able to, it's hard to understand. Have you ever been to the church in Los Angeles? Have you walked the grounds? Have you been?
Nope.
No.
That's one of the reasons why we want to go, to get the lay of the land.
I would like you to try a small experiment, if you're willing. When you go, or if you go, if, I don't know, half of you, or maybe one of you, if you're on any of the holy sites, any of the holy buildings, and you're on the grounds, or just even looking at the grounds, if one of you take some object, something that'll cause you a little bit of pain, prick your finger with a needle, bite on something sharp or something distasteful, something to get your mind distracted, and then compare what you see with what your friends see, see if there's a difference.
Okay.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
It seems that there's a powerful glamour over the whole place. Things are not what they seem. and your mind is much able to see clearly when it's having to deal with something else. Pain will do it. In my case, a shotgun to the leg did it.
Huh. Wimitai, when we are there, you have permission to poke us all with a knife or something.
I was going to say Dragon can help us out with that, but if you want to go get stabbed by Wimitai, then...
I mean, I think Wimitai has been the most patient person here by not stabbing any of us when she has been so wanting to all of this time.
Now Grimes is not just a snake oil salesman. I mean, you have men that are able to sway a person's thoughts and minds by smoothness of their speech, certain manner they have of talking. Now, Grimes has all that. Grimes has all that, but there's something more to it as well. I've been to some of the meetings. He's produced angels. Honest to goodness, wings flaring, golden halo angels. They fly about the city. They are often seen, but he's able to summon them at his command. He has a powerful access to something. I thought they were stories, but I saw them. I saw them myself. The interesting thing about it is when I took that shotgun to the leg, I saw one then too. It wasn't an angel. Well, at least maybe a fallen one.
Hmm.
One of the denarii?
But it's not just trickery, is what I'm trying to get across. He's a masterful worker of words, and you just want to like the man when he starts talking. He's not much to look at, a shriveled prune of a man, but when he starts talking, there's a certain power behind his words. You let him talk too long, he can pretty much persuade anyone to do what he wants.
Yeah. When we gather as sermons, you have to actually go through certain rituals if you happen to be there.
You got specific questions you can ask me. I'm afraid I'm a little fatigued. I won't be able to go for a full-on decompression of everything I know. I can send along, well, assuming they don't go through my letters once I report back and decommission, but I can send back a copy of what I end up turning in for the agency. I'm afraid I just don't have the mental fortitude now to do it, but if you've got a particular question in mind.
Not exactly. We'll be making a full run on Grimes in a couple of months from now. So that's where we're trying to get all the information we can beforehand.
Well, if I do not know if we could get the agency to help us with that.
You give them enough proof that Grimes is the cause of what ails the place, or will cause a great many people to fear. And he says it in such a way that he knows what you mean by this. or he means by this. I'm sure that finding backing is not going to be difficult from the agency. Matter of fact, if you can prove it, which unfortunately what I've dug out is not going to be enough. It's enough to get him on their radar and want more information. But, I mean, if he is as big of a threat as I feel he is, we can get some more information to prove that full-on assault. Might not be out of the question.
Useful.
I mean, have to disguise it as something. Well, it's just hard to manage. He's got so much going for him. He's supposedly doing so much good to the area. I mean, he's certainly feeding a lot of folk with good standing food that's hard to come by. Certainly dear at any cost you can buy it.
We have already told you what the food was made out of, I think. Or was that just Luke? Well, it does not matter now, I guess.
But even so, the popular opinion is well placed behind Grimes, and with this new, well, some kind of agreement that he's got with Hellstrom, it gives him even more power, more access. I mean, you can best believe that railway is being used to send evangelists out east.
He
has power of persuasion, you said. So do we think Hellstrom is acting in good faith with Hellstrom, or is Hellstrom under his thumb?
Yeah, that's the question. You never talked to Hellstrom again after these agreements were made. You don't know if there's been any change there.
Well, that's what I'm sort of a question to bring up at the moment.
Hellstrom was, no, the angels were attacking Hellstrom. They were part of the forces arrayed against him when they turned up there. So it is possible that what you are suggesting is correct.
We may want to have a chat with Hellstrom then at some point. Get out of the to-do list, Ed. Talk to Hellstrom and convert him back.
He might be in the... He is the leader of one faction. Grimes is the leader of the other faction. If Hellstrom is at Grimes City in Los Angeles, then when we go to talk and see what is going on, we might meet with Hellstrom there. And he might be able to get us close to Grimes to get a good reading on your
Yes. Speaking of which, O'Malley, are you sticking around or are you taking off again shortly?
I'll be here for a few weeks. Gotta get the next issue out.
Something I need to have a chat with you, but not tonight because we're all quite tired.
Yes, it is difficult.
And I've got a wedding to attend. He nudges Luke, who blushes a little.
Oh, when is that going on?
And he says, well, O'Malley here is urging that it be sooner than later. So I expect for the months out, we'll have to get the arrangements done and all, but he has a kind of a, almost a childish grin on his face. He's like, of course you're all invited.
Yes, because weddings never go wrong in any game that you happen. The only time weddings go well is when they're off screen. Always have a wedding off screen. Never have it on screen.
Right. Yeah, so any specific questions about Grime and or Lost Angels?
Probably, but I can't think of anything like this moment, so.
Yes, I have one, which we were told about the drinking and the bread, the wine and the bread. You know anything about that?
Yes, I'd attended a few of those masses. I don't know. Certainly, it might have been the spirit of the occasion. As I said, Grimes has a mighty persuasive tone. I definitely felt, to be honest, at the end of a couple of those, I felt like approaching the man and telling him I was a spy. I was, it was just a thought in the back of my head that I should do it. Glad to say that never came across, but. There might be something to it.
Okay. Somebody as strong-willed as you can be taken in by this. We might have some trouble.
And if you're planning any kind of assault on the place, or even just sneaking around, I gotta warn you, there are many troops that are very easily seen. You've seen the wardrobe. You guys remember?
Yes.
But on top of that, there are many of his men that go around in casual dress as well. On top of that, these angels that he calls, they're on patrol. You can't always see them, but they're there.
We may just want to go for gathering information. We don't intend to. Ideally, we just get in and out without anyone even really noticing that we're there.
Just a warning if you plan on sneaking anywhere, that sometimes a watcher can't always be seen.
Oh, we're good at sneaking, we are.
They are not. Do not listen to them.
Everyone at the table just nods in understanding. Yep.
I think Wimitar might have stealth school now. I can't remember if we gave it to her or not.
Reasonably certain that we did, yes.
She uses intimidation instead of stealth. She warns people to not notice.
You did not see me.
Yes, I'm.
That was a running joke in, if you've ever played Legends of the Five Rings, kind of a fantasy Japanese setting. So they've got the Crab Clan, who are a bunch of brutes. And we used to make the joke that the Crab Ninja were just a bunch of burly guys that went around saying, "You don't see us."
Well, I cannot think of anything else to ask about Grimes. That was something I was going to ask. What were the names of the two people who you wanted in the sanatorium? I think I should note them down so that we don't rescue two entirely different people.
Fidel Salazar and Eddie Bruce.
Lonnie Bruce.
Salazar
and Bruce.
We have their pictures.
Bruce. Okay. And you said they saw something that their minds could not comprehend, or horrible thing. Do you think perhaps that thing will have been tracking them? Or has that been dealt with? Just in case we get there and for some reason something attacks us when we get there, because if that is the way things
are. He shakes his head and says, no, I found them after the occasion, and I wrote the after-action report, but neither of them were in a condition to tell me what happened. I had to have them committed at the time. I thought it was the best thing then.
Okay. But they were committed by you, so anybody could go in and take them out to put them in another sanatorium. If they had,
with the proper credentials, I don't see why not.
Okay, yes.
So,
and it's possible that they are fine and we're there and just doing some bad rumors about the place.
That is right. If you see that they're truly unable to function, I'd rather them be left if they're actually receiving care. Now, if they're unable to function and you don't believe that care is good enough, if you have a thought as to where to have them move to, the agency can provide funding for that.
Hmm.
As I said, this might be not much of anything. Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, any other sanatorium anywhere else? I mean,
there's
surely
gonna be
they would
back
be
east.
Surely that would be a sensible place to take them. Is that not? Or am I missing something? Is this a specialist one for some reason?
Yeah, the Peterson Sanitarium, as Sarah pointed out, was supposedly one of the most innovative and had the best rates of success of any sanitarium.
Oh, okay. I missed that. Yeah, it's good to know that. Should one of our body... don't I anybody in particular need that sort of thing.
All right. Sharon, do you have anything specific you want to ask him about Lost Angels or Grime or or anything else about the agency? Whatever.
No. Actually, I do. So if they're... if Salazar and Bruce aren't being treated well and you want me to relocate them someplace to a different facility, do you have any preferences on this facility, or just...
Well, we have one that he takes back the envelope and writes on the back of one of the pages. This is the one that we use back east. We'll have to be put on a train with an attendant.
Okay.
The success rates are nowhere near what the Peterson facility states on their pamphlets anyway, and in their lecturing circuits, but it's what we use for most of the agency.
Okay.
A Dr. Sylvain Jelly.
Yeah. This one, Sarah, is going to be familiar with as well. I mean, it's a good, solid institution. Their numbers are nothing spectacular, you know, right around the mean.
Okay. Then the only other thing I wanted going to do is try to dig up any recent articles or books, pamphlets, or whatever from Peterson, so when I go over there, I'm going to be able to ask some pertinent and seemingly informed questions.
Yep. Town doctor might probably be the only place you're going to find those articles is with him. So.
Yep. Not like I haven't been there before.
Yep, exactly. Matter of fact, you got to check in and see how your house is doing.
Yes, I do.
We went out for dinner. We've been in the town for the past 3 days.
Yeah, she hasn't done anything.
Yes, but somehow I don't think Sarah went, hey, I ignore the house I bought.
They got to see how much work's been done in the last 24 hours. I mean, come on. All these lazy Chinamen working on it. I mean, you know.
Sorry. Well, I thought of one other thing to ask you, Hellman, that possibly you might already have noticed. I do not know. Do you recognize this? I show the walking stick, which I will have taken off and put down on the floor.
Right. Will you allow him to handle it? He says, yeah. Well, hey,
do you know it at all? Well, before he sees that, hey, it's got a engraving on it, which says this thing. I just want to know if he recognizes it. Like, hey, have you heard anything about this sort of warning stick, first of all.
I mean, just looking at it before, you know, while it's still in your hands, so he doesn't see the inscription. It's like, it's a walking stick. Looks to be pretty simple. Puts on a monocle and takes a look at it. Good wood.
And you have heard no particular thing which might spring to mind about the conversation we've been having tonight to do with a walking stick? No?
Well, he sits back and says, I remember some early research I did on Grimes. His flock, his original flock, had given him a gift. Is that his cane?
Yeah, now I'll hand it over. Now that he's had some sort of idea and that's all he can really think about it.
Yeah, he looks at it. He taps it, looks, is there anything special about it? He hefts it, swings it around a little bit.
Possibly so. We have been.
We hope it's going to be effective, but we don't.
But you did not recognize it just by.
No, no. The only thing I was able to dig out was that he was presented with the walking stick when he was early in his mission. I understand he's a much different man now than then, though.
Yeah. Can we get the names of the people who was in his flock when they gave him the walking stick?
I can maybe find out that for you, but he shakes his head. I don't... Yeah. My research that far.
Yeah, it just might be a useful thing for more of a social side of attack.
We must know, or someone must know, the names of his current disciples. The disciples that he has.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I mean, were they from... They were from that time, surely?
Yes, some of them were.
I mean...
All right, so I'm going to make a little dodge as a GM here.
Yeah,
and what he's going to say to you is that he's going to get a good night's sleep. And he'll write down anything he can remember particular about his early research on Grimes. He'll leave it in a letter. Along with the notes the doctor will need to fake care for these two agents, or prior care to these two agents. That will give me time to go back and look to see what I can disseminate to you that he might have figured out and that you may have been told long ago but have forgotten.
Yeah, just to clear it off, I mean, we know that the current disciples are the ones who killed Grimes before he came back. That's why they have to meet up, because they were the ones who killed them. So they meet up, and I don't know whether they renew their powers or whether it's a symbolic thing or something. But we know those were the people who were there at the time. So I assume they were the ones who gave him the stick as well, unless it was like earlier people who gave him a stick and then they went off into the violence. Yeah, they went off.
I'm just thinking you start saying, hey, do you remember so-and-so and so-and-so? And you go, me trying to get out and remember these people.
No, that's an interesting one.
Yeah. Possibility.
Yep. And if you have names, if you have names, you might be able to track down, any other living members from that original flock.
That's a point as well. Yeah.
Good thoughts.
That's it. Mental social attack. Never just go for the physical when you got other options.
Yes. All right. A gun that fires words.
So he's willing to do that. He'll write down,
Of understanding.
After a good night's sleep and some rest, he'll write down everything he can remember about his early notes. Of course, all of his notes were taken from him when he was taken prisoner, so he's having to rebuild this in his mind anyway. Here's one thing I can give you here. Pull up an image real quick. He had used a storage facility to hold some of his notes as he was traveling around, all kept in code, which he can let you know. That's interesting. No, he won't tell you how to break the code because that's an agency specific thing, but like if you can recover these notes, you might find more in there to be. If you can get an agency man to decipher it, or if you want to just hand it over and see what they'll tell you from it.
Or break it ourselves. Not that we would, of course. Not.
trying to find the name of this city. Give me a second here.
Everybody at the table falls asleep while we wait for them to work it out.
Sacramento, actually. Up in Sacramento, he has he's got a lockbox in the post office there.
Oh, there it is. Sacramento. Yep. It's on the way.
Now, he doesn't have the key or anything because that was all taken from him, but he tells you what box it is. It tells you, what the post office was. If you're able to wrangle the contents out of the workers or find some other way to get to them, a lot of his early notes are kept there. And that Sacramento is up the coast towards the direction you'll need to go for to get your next geoglyph. So
yeah.
And it's on a rail line, so if you wanted to take a rail, you could do it in relative comfort.
Yep. There's an option.
Yeah. You'll have to travel up a little bit, get to Shannonsburg, probably, and get on the rail there.
Yep. That's fine.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, he'll get, I like Shannonsburg. So,
a lot of his early information, when he first started on this mission, he gathered and was able to keep in a deposit box there.
Let's just keep racking up those side quests for 100% completion.
We would have missed some, we know that. So.
We'll go back. No, let's save state. Get them on the way.
So can we go back, once I've completed the main story mission, can we go back and get all the collectibles?
After everything's flooded, let's just pick through everything. And
that's just bad programming if you can't get at the collectibles after you've gone past a certain state.
Well, this is one of those games where it resets, but you get to keep all your levels. And you.
New game plus.
All right, so with that, he'll...
Yes, bad. It sounds good.
Yes.
Yep. Oh, bad. No. Too bad.
I promised Wimitai we would go trawling for...
Idiots. Yeah.
Yeah, some idiots. All right.
Well, there are two right there who should be in bed. They're pretty much idiotic at this point.
But Luke and O'Malley say they'll... O'Malley says he'll be around for a bit. He's going to stay around till he's... Luke is safely hitched, he says. he'll be around. He's gonna be working on the next articles for the epitaph, getting a few other things lined up. So he'll be around town. And there you go. And so, after a long day, you're trolling for idiots in the park, which Wimitai will we'll get a little bit of activity before bed, which is going to keep you up even later. Because you know how she gets after a good axing.
I will never get to sleep. No.
Right. And Sam is murdered before morning. And no. All right. So let's say everybody gets good rest, good meal in the morning. So Saturday, morning, mid-afternoon, whatever you want to call it. You want to do anything specific? We'll just go a little further to get your plans done for getting into and what you want to do about getting into Lost Angels. It's not far away.
That's why we should talk to Captain Edmondson about using him to get us cover into the air on at least Sunday, if not except as well.
Oh, I thought we were going to go for their sermon. I didn't think we needed cover.
Yeah. Well, no. I'm thinking it would be useful to have cover. Also, get there by boat a lot quicker.
You get there on a Saturday and come in as a potential faithful. I mean, you're good through Sunday evening, so that's your 24-hour, and that's your reason for being there. So they don't. There's usually an influx of people on a Saturday because of that.
Right.
Two good meals.
Well, two things I need to do is I need to do some alchemy to create some potions of dispel. Mm-hmm. And I want to have a chat with O'Malley about this device I have to see if we can work out some of it means. whenever I do it near a dragon, it does this. I don't know what's up. Then he does this to it. Yeah, this stick does this. Yeah.
So you're asking O'Malley about it?
Yeah.
Give me a second. Let's see what he's got going here. Oh, look at that.
Ooh, wow.
Eight.
Right. He's got a lot.
Yeah, he's got some idea of its functionality. Apparently, it's able to key in on some kind of a force that supernatural objects have as an aura about it, if you will. Like he shows you, for instance, he passes it across the membership ring, if you remember the Twilight. And there's a very low count that comes up over that. And he says, now these are low level enchanted by some of the group that that's gone about the learning the old fashioned way with book knowledge, etc. No packs with demons and such, mind you. But as you'll notice, there's a little something special about them. It ticks up just a little, just a very small fluctuation. And we'll say Eddie's around. And so he knows about Eddie's condition. So he, passes it over Eddie. It's a little greater.
And we got the manacles as well. I said, the manacles do this.
Yep. So, you can roughly gauge, the strength, of an item by looking at the field here. I'm not sure what the numbers mean, because it's gradiated out, but, he doesn't know what they particularly mean either. It could be that somewhere there's a whole book of what an exact number means.
Yeah. But there seems to be, at least, if nothing else, sort of a power level indicator.
Yep.
Because I want to use this in Lost Angels and near Grime as I can to try and get some readings on him.
Yep. The cane is quite high. As was Santa Anna's leg.
Yeah. That could be a problem. Hopefully no higher than Grimes.
But somehow it's able to measure... this force maybe it's because they're connected to something else. I believe the Indians of the area call it the hunting grounds. But there's some connection between this plane and another, and this gauge here is able to detect that. I guess the stronger the connection, the stronger the movement.
I'll give us some idea about Grimes. It goes off the scale, spins around 5 times, and blows up.
Which, in the back of the GM's mind is why I'm thinking that I said that Sharon doesn't register, because there is no connection. It's in her.
Okay. And I need to do some alchemy as well, so I'll need to use that card to give me the edge, get savage.
Yeah, if you want to trade out the card, go for it. That's fine.
Just throw it on Sharon, and boom, here's my chip, which I have to spend for it.
Yep.
Alchemy!
No, don't. Weird, I want to see how the fun stuff works with the new adventure card stuff.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to find the card? All right, one second.
Okay, so, wait, you want me to play this card for you?
Trade the card to Jameis.
Yes, okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, one second here. All right.
There's probably other cards I should be taking from you, but I need that in order to be able to do anything. Okay. So theoretically, if I just play the card by doing this. Yep, used a Benny.
Did it use a Benny for you?
Nope.
You did it, okay.
I did it beforehand.
Yeah.
Well, you got two there. Have you lost two now?
No, I haven't lost the one. The one that I spent earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, since it's a Deadlands one, it probably can't do it because it doesn't know which Benny to throw.
That's what I was thinking, And have you lost your... No, you won't have lost your card because...
And I don't have another... I don't have the opportunity to pick up another card either.
All right. Now, there is a way that I can look through the deck, if I can figure that out.
But then again, that's just going to give me an edge, so is it really worth the effort? It's not going to give me a bonus.
I want to see if it works.
Yeah. If you play the card, if it checks and asks what the skill is, for instance.
Well, it hasn't asked me what the card is.
Right, no, if it takes you away, how many adventure cards you've got.
Yes, I do have the list. Okay, so what's the card called again that you're looking for?
Get Savage.
Get Savage. Okay, I'm going to give it to your character.
Yes, I have no cards I can spend.
Does it say that? Okay.
Well, there's no, you cannot play any more adventure cards as
well. Well, there is an exciting
feature.
Wrong thing then. Unless when you give him the card, it says,
let's find out. Give me a second.
Get Savage.
Yes, it gave him a card to play.
Yes, it did.
Awesome.
So now, if I play Get Savage, boom. It doesn't give me a list of edges to suggest or anything.
Wow. That would be everything.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
So I just don't think there's a point to.
Alright. Okay, Alchemy, I need to make a weird science roll. It's going to take half my power points unless I put more into it. This is
half
his power points per known power to divide among as many potions as he wish. Extra points may be put into a potion to maintain the duration of up to a predetermined limit. Alchemist can brew potion for each power he knows. Potion points are tied up in a potion until it's used. Requires chemistry set in 30 minutes per power. End of the brewing process, Alchemist must make a weird science roll. Failure means the potion's ruined. Success means it will work renewed. Raise works as usual. Attacking powers doesn't, not attacking. Opposed powers require normal success to resist. Well, minus two with a raise, otherwise no roll is needed to use a potion.
All right, so we're making dispel potions? Is that the idea?
Yep.
Okay.
So I have to make a weird science roll and then use my chips to try and get a decent roll out of it. Right. Wow. Chip one.
Right.
This is what I needed to do.
You can use that as an added D6 if you want, since it's really
there's no point at this point. Yeah. That's not worth it for an extra D6. This is why I sort of needed to be able to use two cards so I can then play the ace card. That's more like it. I'll tell you that.
Okay. So it's make it with a raise.
Yep, which means the roll is at a minus two, but given it's going to be an opposed power against a different type of power, I don't know if it's going to negate that minus two or not, because it would be...
Basically, it's giving them a minus... Well, it depends what the power is, etc.
Yeah, it's dispel. Make spell potions.
No, not you. His.
Yeah. I assume it's going to be an opposed roll.
Yeah.
But that's just me assuming. But anyway, we have dispel potions with a raise.
Okay, and how many did you make?
Four.
Okay.
Because there's four of us, as I'm aware.
Yeah, let me just note this down.
You got enough power points for that?
I've got 20 power points. I don't know how many I can use.
You've got 10 power points.
I've got 10 power points. Well, it says I can put more in.
No,
extra points can put into a potion to maintain the duration up to a
predetermined limit. Right, that's not what it means. What it means is you start with 20 power points. For using these particular potions that you are brewing, you get half your usual power points as potions. So you get 10 points worth of potions. And you could say, hey, I'm going to put 1 point into this potion and 9 points into this second one. So you get 10 points worth of potions to make however you want. I don't know how many it is for dispel.
I don't know how it works either, to be honest.
Right, let's see. Looking at the power of dispel.
Look at the power. You should have it written right there on the power.
It takes 3 power points.
Right, so if you make 3, then. And then you've got 1 point left over.
Okay, can I. Do I want to make 4 potions, though?
Let's see. So to do that, you need more power points. So how can a person get more power points is the question.
More power points is an edge.
Yeah.
And I've got... Has
anybody got a card they can play on him that would give him more?
Well, it's not that. It's the edge. He would need another edge in order to get...
Well, no, because he's got 10 points because that's half of his base power points. Base power points is 20. So if there was a card out there that made his base power points, say, 40.
His base power points are increased by the more power points edge. That's all there is which does that.
Yep. So we'd have to have another card that would give him another edge temporary.
There are certainly cards which increase the number of temporary power points that you have.
So I can make 3 potions in. Okay, who doesn't want a potion?
I guess whoever's wearing the manacles, maybe.
Yeah.
Well,
Eddie may not want to go
us.
In with you because of that, but
there's still 4
Wimitai.
People. Because Wimitai.
Well, Wimitai can make a fetish, I guess, which boosts.
But she doesn't have the dispel power.
Right, but she can make one which will boost the spirit trait, yeah. Which is what I'm assuming is going to be the resistance.
I don't know.
Or somebody can play a card, or anything could happen.
Okay, well, we've got three potions then.
You got three potions for us right now, and we'll figure it out for the next.
Okay.
Or somebody could just spend chips, I mean.
Yep, that's the other one. Oh, gee, if only someone had like a billion chips because they got all the edges.
Right, that works. So we have three potions of dispel, and they were done with rays.
Yep.
All right.
But as it's against a different power type, I don't know exactly how that's going to cancel out stuff.
It might not be against a different power type. You don't know.
The first power type is weird science. I'm going to be very surprised.
Yeah.
The altar boys in the back who are mixing up the wine and the bread are, you know, doing it with weird science, you know. They don't have all the connections that Grimes has got.
That's what the AAA whiskey is. It's really Grimes' secret wine supply.
Mm-hmm. All right, okay. So we'll call it there. So hopefully we can get Eddie in on the next game. So for averting, we're getting Santa Ana to leave, and he's true to his word. Apparently he does regain his leg. Although there's a message left with his remuneration box that saying we liked your worm.
Well, to be fair, Eddie didn't have any trouble with the worm, so you know.
Eddie's incredibly stealthy, and he's not a huge contingency of people going through the area where, you know, the sounds of the footfall is what attracts the worm. Yeah.
Well, if you move with that rhythm, you're going to attract the worm.
There you go. Santa Ana and his band of Fremen.
Yeah.
So, I'll give you...
I'll talk to Luke and stuff about getting the reparations sorted out properly, because I won't be able to manage that, so...
Yep. Well, part of it is you're going to, if you're really wanting it to get it to the families of the soldiers, you're going to have to go through the military to do all that anyway, because you're going to have the family.
It's going to have to be that way. I can't do that, but I was just getting some money so we could get that done.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Luke can take care of it. He's got some connections now, so.
Yep.
There we go.
Sure. Mally knows people and stuff. And Hattie probably knows people and. It happens. Off screen. So, how many points do we get?
I'll give you 2 points. 2 experience points.
Cool. Boom.
Okay.
Sending Santa Ana packing with his new leg of invincibility.
That's Texas's problem.
Yeah.
Nothing to do with us.
Their rangers can handle it, right?
Yeah.
All right, anything else, Sharon?
Well, they've got Chuck Norris, so yeah.
No, actually, I'm going to get off the phone.
Sounds good. All right, guys, so 2 experience. Just update your character somewhere with how many experience you've got. And I know, Richard, you said 20th is out for you, so we'll schedule the next one, probably 2 weeks.
Good night, everybody on the recording who is hearing this. Good night.
Good night.
All right, good night, guys.
Yeah. All right, now before we jump off, just quickly, now that the recording is done, just something that I was thinking of and was when this campaign is completely done and over with, I would not mind doing one additional session afterwards just to talk about the campaign and things that we noticed during play but never brought up, or hey, here's something that I thought we could have done instead, or this is an alternate character that I had ready, or Bert, what the hell was going on with X?
that
was just something I was thinking.
X may be the entire campaign.
Yeah. We can do a deconstruction. And sometime after this is done, I mean, I hate to say it, but there are 2 other modules that link into this. I mean, there's the last ones, and then there's a third one. I was also thinking. What would be fun would be to do a Deadlands Noir session at some point, maybe just a short story arc with the children.
Yeah.
And Sharon may still be able to play Sarah at that point.
I was thinking about that, and I don't think we're going to be able to play the children off because it's like 50 years. So it's
or the grandchildren.
Yeah.
But Sarah might still be around.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
possibly even masquerading as my own grandchild.
Yes.
Yep.
But anyway, they have several thoughts there as to where to go. But yeah, having a deconstruction session would be awesome. Yep. All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right. Okay, good night. I'm going to bed.
Everybody see ya. Have fun. Catch you later.
Bye.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.